Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Vasilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. Today is episode 277. And today we have on the Teams call, we have Kale, myself, Sujit, and of course, our special guest, Nils Francis. Today we have Nils here to talk a little bit about how do we automate network security. And before we start that, why don't we give a round of updates on Azure? Kale, are there any blockchain information that you can't wait to share with everyone?
Oh yeah, I got a bunch of other stuff, but for the blockchain corner this week, I mentioned on a previous podcast that we kicked off a hackathon for a few weeks here in partnership with Gitcoin and a few other partners, building a lot of applications on top of the services and things that we have inside of Azure for blockchain. And happy to say that that's completed. So I finished up yesterday, actually. And, we're going to – the combination of that, so the kind of the bigger awards will be given out at the Ethereal event, Ethereal Summit, which is in another week here in New York. Looking forward to that. We had a lot of good code written. People met the challenges. We had 19 challenges, and all of them had some code that were created for them. So they met all the kind of challenges for those things. And now it's really just judging the best ones for the top tier prizes. But other than that, it was a great success. So it was really cool to kind of see that all work out. Back to normal Azure stuff, though. I got a couple here, and I'll let Cynthia talk and Sajid as well if he has any. So there's a couple things this week I saw out here that stuck out. One of them was some things around VMware and some monitoring enhancements that we have in here in partnership with the Azure Site Recovery Service that we have in Azure. So interesting kind of hybrid scenarios that can be useful there. So not just everything being in the cloud, but also if you do have some on-premises workloads using a VMware, there's been some enhancements for that. So you can check out the disaster recovery pages. And there's actually a really nice kind of blog entry on some of the new features there. There was some stuff about supercomputing this week with the Cray Cluster Store. So those who are into kind of the extreme or the high-performance compute, we basically have some things to take a look at out there. The Cray Cluster Store in Azure Storage System is kind of the focus of what this is about. And basically the ability now has been enhanced so that it can support the data processing on the H-series VMs. There's some specs out there about the performance enhancements here, something like 3 times the throughput. Kind of a really high performance workload if you're interested in the Azure Cray. There's also a nice link out there to the team. So if you're working in the high performance computing space and you have any questions or feedback on that, great way to kind of reach out.
What type of industries usually use like supercomputing?
I think it varies. I mean, the stuff that I have personally been involved with the supercomputing was, when we started talking about things like some of the more advanced AI and machine learning capabilities, these systems tend to be able to run those kind of workloads pretty effectively and scale out much bigger than a traditional, compute system. But I think, image recognition, any of those kind of things that requires intense CPU, these things tend to be used quite a bit for that. Fluid dynamics calculations in physics and some of those things I think are some of the more advanced ones as well.
Yeah, and okay, to already chime in here,
how long is it going to take to mine a Bitcoin computer? Is what I'm
asking.
I don't know that would be very cost effective. So you could probably make it go really fast, but it's going to cost you so much that it probably is not worth it. You know.
And I wanted to chime in here as well. I think for HPC, one sector that I've worked with in the past is with the chip design sector that plans how the new CPUs will be designed, and they run thousands and thousands of cores to make sure that those CPUs and those chips are designed as optimally as possible. And those are huge jobs that are running on huge clusters, so they could benefit from this as well.
That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Two other ones I had here. One of them is really around serverless automation using PowerShell. So there's a preview out of this. It's using the 2.x runtime, I guess, in PowerShell Core 6. So basically some integration with PowerShell in our serverless compute. And sorry not to hold up too much time. The other one I just wanted to mention was the Azure Source by our friend Rob Caron, who's got a great kind of wrap up as usual of all the latest stuff that's going on. I mean, it's amazing that there's that much stuff going on right now, and you know, we're a week out from build. So next week I'm pretty sure is going to be overload with news as usual. In the Azure podcast, we usually take 2 or 3 episodes to even consume all of it. So maybe it'll be even more this year. It's going to take us a month to get through this stuff. I'm not sure, but it's a good thing. So Cynthia, did you have anything you want to talk about?
I did put in one around GA of Azure Log Analytics in a number of different regions. But it was interesting because I was talking to someone about the Azure Functions for PowerShell yesterday. I thought that was always something that was available. But apparently, like, that was never a really clear direction that it could go away anytime. But now that we've made the commitment that this is something that we're investing on and that we want to move forward with. And the other thing I put in there was the GA for Azure Log Analytics in Central US, East US 2, East Asia, West US, and South Central US. The reason why I'm so passionate about this one is for a lot of our unified support customers, they now have access to a number of on-demand assessments, and all the assessments ingest data right into Log Analytics. So right now, you no longer have restrictions to have your Log Analytics in specific regions. So I thought that was very exciting. But before further ado, let Nils, do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about what you do and kick us off.
Yeah, certainly. So my name is Nils Fransens. I am a cloud solution architect in San Francisco in the US. I work within our customer success organization, where I basically help customers use Azure in the best way possible. And I like to describe my job as how I explain it to my mom. When my mom wants to know what I actually do, I tell her I solve technical problems for my customers. And I reached out to the Azure podcast team a couple of weeks ago as I was preparing a presentation about network automation, which is something that's it's actually a very interesting field in the cloud, as everything is becoming an API, and even the network itself is an API. You can do some interesting stuff with those APIs and start getting your networking and certainly your security teams working in a more automated fashion, rather than having to go through a service request process where you have to wait weeks and weeks for a firewall change.
I definitely remember. Go ahead.
I'm asking, what kind of customers do you think, this type of automation, like, is it just enterprise customers, or do you see it?
So I think all types of customers can benefit from this. Security is important for all companies, going from the smallest startup to large enterprises. And I believe automating your security as much as possible and making it a core priority is important for every company. I think in automating the security, I believe the companies that will have the most benefit from automating their security estate are the larger enterprises, where you typically see a large friction between the security teams who are focused on, let's say, closing off as much as possible, and the developers who need to deliver value as quickly as possible. And if you get your security teams working in a more automated fashion, you remove some of that friction between development and security.
I can definitely attest to that. I remember working with one of our customers, and that we spend a lot of late nights trying to make these firewall changes because it's on a physical device. And that was definitely not a lot of fun. So when you say automating, could you tell us more, a little bit more about what that would look like and where you would start?
Definitely. And I actually want to plug into your story because the reason I dove into this particular solution is I was at a customer site a couple of months ago where my customer asked me at a very funny Wednesday afternoon, 2 p.m., hey, Niels, I had a conversation with security and we need to change about 500 firewall rules. So we need to go in all our NSGs and start changing the rules. Can you help me doing that today? Because we have an application that's going live tomorrow. And as you said, we could have spent a lot of late nights going into the portal and changing those NSG rules, but doing that in a manual fashion wouldn't have been too productive because humans make errors and we would have opened security holes where we didn't want to open security holes. And if we needed to do this all over again after another security review, or if we needed to repeat this in a secondary region, you don't want to go into the portal and automate all of this. So where I started with this particular customer is we started writing a small PowerShell script that took in the Excel file that the security team had created. So the security team had given us an Excel file with, for each subnet, which traffic would be allowed and which traffic would be needed to be denied. And we wrote a small PowerShell script that started in just taking that Excel file, stored as a CSV, and converting that into ARM templates. And each ARM template would have represented a network security group. And then after we had those ARM templates, we could just go into PowerShell again and apply those ARM templates in a infrastructure as code deployment to actually have our new firewall rules be deployed.
That's awesome. So I'm assuming you probably also parameterize some of the subnets so you can just swap out the IP ranges and then you could use that again and again.
Yes. So how we started this work was we did it very IP address centric, where the developers or the security team just put in IP addresses into the Excel sheet. Mm-hmm. But this, with new functionalities such as our application security groups, it's a lot easier to work with security to instances because you don't have to worry about IP addresses. You just worry about the application security group that you assign to your virtual machine or to your virtual machine skill set.
Gotcha. Okay. That's awesome.
And a script is just one step in which we did the automation in this, because having a script available still requires somebody to execute the script. And we introduced the customer to a new way of working where instead of the security team pushing the button and executing the script, we actually created a CI/CD pipeline in Azure DevOps that took an updated rule sheet, and the rules were just saved as a CSV file, as I mentioned. And once the CSV file was checked into Git, there was an automatic build that happened that took in those CSV files, transformed them into ARM templates, and stored them in the artifact store. And then we also set up a continuous delivery pipeline in which the security team was really happy that they were still included in the process because there was a manual approval that happened for the security teams in that continuous delivery phase where once a CI had gone through and we had the ARM templates available, the security team got an email asking them, hey, there's a new delivery waiting to be to happen. Do you approve or reject? And they could very easily go into Azure DevOps, go back to the source code and see just the deltas in the actual source code. And Git is really good in showing you those. And that was really productive for the security team where they didn't have to analyze the full rule sheet, they just had to look into Git and see the actual changes that were made by the developer teams.
That is awesome. That was actually just like you answered the next question I was going to ask you about, like where does the script live? And Azure DevOps is definitely with all the pipelines and approvals, and that we're still keeping the security team involved, which is really important and making their lives a lot easier too.
Yes, their lives have become. Go ahead, Sujit.
Sorry, I just want to ask you the value in integrating Azure Automation into this. You know.
So Azure Automation certainly also plays a role in this because our CI and CD pipeline happens every time a change occurs. But then afterwards, you can still go in manually into the portal and do additional changes, and then you have a configuration drift from the actual target state that the security team had approved, and somebody could still have changed some security rules. So where Azure Automation comes into play here is that Azure Automation could take the last approved set of firewall rules and apply those on a timer value where, for instance, every hour or every day, we revert security back to a known target state that was approved by the security teams.
That's a good one. I had not thought about that. That's the idea. I'm going to read from the actual running of the PowerShell itself, because right now I believe that you described that you're running it, incorrect?
Yes, the script is actually running in Azure DevOps.
So so I guess you can take advantage of the fact that customers can run script on-prem required.
Yeah, that's correct. We for this task, we actually, because we the only thing we do is we take in the CSV from the Git repo and then execute the PowerShell script, we're actually taking advantage of the hosted agent for this work because we just need to take in a CSV and do basically a string manipulation to output an ARM template, so we didn't need any special packages for that. So the hosted agent in Azure DevOps did that perfectly well for us.
So when you're deploying these templates, are you just deploying the NSGs, or are you also deploying the infrastructure along with the NSGs?
No, so these templates are just the actual firewall rules. The infrastructure itself was also deployed via ARM templates, but those were in a separate repo.
Separate. Okay.
And the network security was kept out of the source repo so that developers could make changes to the infrastructure more quickly without needing to require a security review. But security still had a full finger on the pulse for the network security rules.
Gotcha. Wow.
So
go ahead,
One question I had about that is maybe like, you know, so looks sounds like you've done quite a bit of automation with the network side and making this something that's like repeatable and less error prone, as you mentioned before. I guess what's some of your feedback on some of the challenges you ran into here, even following the model like you're talking about? Like, I'm not saying the tools are hard to use, because I think our tools are pretty good from a automation standpoint, but I'm just wondering what was kind of one of the biggest challenges you ran into when you start, you referenced a project with a pretty large infrastructure change that they wanted to make in a pretty quick time frame. Was it the ARM template generation that took a while, or did it take, how was the automation in DevOps? Was it seamless when you brought those ARM templates over to make that such an easy plugin, or just some feedback on that is what I was interested in?
Yeah. So I think one point of feedback into why we decided to automate all of this as much as possible was it's rather hard for a security team to keep track of hundreds of rules in different network security groups, and there's no centralized view in which you can see all your NSGs and see which traffic is allowed and denied. And that's why the customer did a security review on their own, and they basically decided to create an Excel sheet with all the traffic flows that they wanted to see allowed on the platform. So that's the trigger that drove us to do this automation. And if I look into the work that went into doing this end-to-end automation, I think most of the time was spent in actually doing the, I call it string manipulation to create the ARM template, because the ARM template has a couple of, let's say, properties, and you need to be smart enough into how you ingest the source CSV and how you transform that into an ARM template. Just one example that I can give you there on which I struggled a bit was there's two separate fields in the ARM template language for a network security group for source address. You either have source address prefix singular or source address prefixes, which is not singular, and I'm blanking on the word. And I needed to figure out a good way into figuring out if I had one source IP address or multiple source IP addresses so that I filled in that field into the right property field on the ARM template. So that took a while. The actual automating of the process in Azure DevOps was, I wouldn't say a piece of cake, but that took us less than half a day because you just upload your source code, you have your CSV file, you have your PowerShell script, and then you have some graphical user steps in Azure DevOps to set this up, and that was actually very straightforward.
That's great.
What else are you planning to do with this tool and this facility?
Yeah, so one of the ideas I already mentioned, because I recently, because I gave this public talk, put this on a GitHub repo, and I'll share the repo address in the show notes. There's two things that I've been thinking about. One is to make just an incremental update to be able to support application security groups, because those make it a lot easier to work with.
I was about to ask you.
Yeah, but that application security groups make it so much easier to work with instances rather than with IP addresses. So that's one change I've been considering. And another thing I've been wanting to do, more of a personal side project, was to have a look into how I can make this tool work across Azure, AWS, and GCP, because all three providers have a relatively similar way of working with network security, and I think this tool could work across all three platforms. It's just a matter of changing the template language from ARM templates to AWS templates.
Or you could use like Terraform, right? Too.
Yes, I've been... You are reading my mind, because as I was thinking about maybe doing a side project and doing this multi-cloud, I was thinking, do I try to learn cloud formations or do I just stick with Terraform? You read my mind.
Really, you know, it's really nice that you have shared some of these learnings with me, Rich, what you've done. And great, I hope, you know, I really...
Yeah.
Any more questions for Niels?
For those of the listeners who are interested to learn a bit more about this, I did share the slides of that presentation on SlideShare, and I'll pass them to you for the show notes. And then the source code is open sourced on GitHub, and I'll also put the repo in the show notes.
Thanks so much. Is there anything else that you want to cover with me?
That was all my questions. This is really exciting, like all the different pieces that he's putting together. I wish we had that.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your experience here, Niels. This has been super enlightening, and I'm sure our listeners will get a lot of benefit out of this. So really appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing your experience with automation around networking.
Okay. You're welcome. Happy to be here.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.